Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we have an extended dance news coming with lots of interesting subjects and good sports on the way as well. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Everyone's apart these days, and now we're sharing more things than ever. Geico wants to share a little something with you with the Geico Give Back. 15% credit on your car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers because Geico's committed for the long haul. The 15% credit lasts your full policy term. So get that 15% and lock it in for the full term of the policy. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Great. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
IMDb, Amy, one of my favorite docs, 7.8.
Take that.
IMDb. Which doc?
Amy.
She hasn't suffered herself. She hasn't suffered enough.
I know.
Just, yeah, right, Amy, talk about
it. Yeah,
well, I know Brian's been through a lot, and I don't mean to make it worse, but we do have some updates on Newsgate. So,
I know.
Newsgate. That was just for you. Newsgate. So Fox News reports, and we have a picture I'll show you, that NASCAR has released the first official image, because as you pointed out, we didn't have any pictures of this thing, of the garage door pull rope fashioned into a new style knot that was found in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega, and said that an internal investigation determined it was only present at the only one of the 29 tracks it visits. The discovery led to an FBI hate crime probe that determined it had been there since at least last October and was not directed at Wallace. Wallace, as you know, has been a vocal supporter of Black Lives Matter. He moved to have the Confederate flag taken down. Phelps, who was running this thing, said that the internal probe learned that the noose was not present at the beginning of October at the Cup Series weekend at Talladega, but was there at the end. However, he said there isn't enough evidence to determine who created it or why. The NASCAR investigation also looked at 1,684 garages. This is the only one that had this, and that is a noose.
Yeah,
whether they're doing it for a pulley or not, that's the shape can't be denied.
No, it's both things are true. It's a noose, but it wasn't for Bubba Wallace. I think that's the story.
It's just weird that they said that it was there, you know, sometime between the end of October and now, and nobody else uses that. You know, it's not like, oh, this is the best innovation on how to pull down a gate, like. Why? We don't know.
First off, we never really factor in the who cares factor. Like, there's probably some, I work with enough construction guys to know, like, if you just leave them alone in the back of a pickup truck, speaking of traveling in the back of a pickup truck, one time we picked up some laborers and drove them to the job, and they were in the back of the pickup truck. And later on, that day, we came to find out that the guys had taken the handle for, like, my foreman's cooler, like the plastic handle on top of the cooler, and they just carved it all up. Like, they just notched it all up because they're just, like, sitting there. Hmm. Like, they didn't have anything to do.
Sometimes, idle hands.
Yeah, idle hands. And this is probably some bumpkin guy who's just standing around, waiting for the rain delay or something. And he's probably just screwing around. Maybe it was a Cub Scout or something. He knows how to tie a knot.
Lying.
And he just did it. Like, see, what I'm saying is, like, sometimes the answer is no answer. Just like some dude did it, you know, not with anything in his head other than I'm bored.
But when we have people like whoever's running Oakland and the guy going, it's me, I did it, it's a workout thing, going, no, we have to investigate, then this becomes something that ends up being looked at, needs to be looked at,
yes,
by comparison.
Talladega, Alabama, I guess, is different than Oakland, California, or what?
Let me check into that.
But that's probably a factor. Like, no,
defend your point.
And it probably, I don't know. I don't know how stuff works. I really don't anymore. Just as long as it wasn't fashioned for him, I think we can breathe a sigh of relief. Then, of course, bizarre luck of the draw that the only garage during, I mean, let's look at it this way. During the middle of the biggest racial tensions we've had in this country since Rodney King, and bigger, more, just longer and more spread out, the one black driver out of the 30 groups gets assigned to the one bay that has the noose for the handle. Think about how cosmically fucked up that is. I mean, there's one black guy. I don't know, Max Pato, what are there, 32 cars, 28 cars, 41 cars? I mean, there's 40 cars, there's 40 bays, one black driver, one noose, and he gets into that bay.
The stars have to align.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the middle of this. Think about that.
What I mean, all these factors, the time and the place and the environment,
Right.
Well, we mentioned the other day, but just to give a few more details, the three suspects in the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery have been indicted. That's the father-son, Travis McMichael and Greg McMichael, and the other guy, William Roddy Bryan, formally charged with 9 counts related to Arbery's shooting death in February. The charges include malice murder, 4 counts of felony murder, 2 counts of aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. The three were not arrested, and as you know, until the cell phone video became public, went totally viral. The defendant's attorneys say they thought Arbery matched the description of a suspect in a robbery in the neighborhood. Arbery's family say he was an avid runner, was out for a jog, but they've all been indicted, and many, many counts. And I wonder what... if you've talked to Garagos about this yet.
Not this one yet, but I'll put it on my list. I'll talk to him about it when I see him tomorrow. Talladega has 40 cars. 40 cars, 40 paddocks or garages, one black man, one noose. Boom.
Sounds like the trailer to a really bad movie.
I know.
40 paddocks.
Yep. There you go.
Although it does have that Occam's razor vibe of, you know, the simplest explanation has to be the right one. But maybe in this case, it was just horrible luck.
Yeah. There's also, I mean, what I'm trying to say to everyone all the time, whether it's Katy Perry's shoes or the noose hanging on the thing, not everything is an attempt at something. Sometimes people just do shit that looks like shit, or it's random, or it's dumb, or it's whatever, but it's not all targeted. You know, all right.
Well, you know, I hate, as much as Brian hates Gait and on steroids,
but it's also kind of thing where it's like a white cop can kill a black citizen and not be racist. It can just be a cop killing a black citizen, just as a black cop can kill a white citizen, or a white cop, as we've seen with many of Garagos's clients, can kill a white citizen. Like, it doesn't all have to be something. It can just be bad policing. Sorry. Yep, true. Go ahead.
Agreed. I can't stand people breaking their silence. I can't stand people speaking out, especially you can't break a silence that nobody asked for.
Wait. Yeah. What's worse? Unearthed on something that formerly aired on national TV, a breaking a silence that we don't care about.
Nobody asked for.
Or an open letter. I'm writing an open letter to my unborn son. Who can we hang with less?
Unearthed is ridiculous, because the things that are unearthed are widely available or were broadcast to millions of people.
I'm going to have to
it's
go.
It's like a childhood, like, you know, drawing or something.
Well, even though open letter gives it a run for its money, there's nothing more narcissistic than breaking a silence when nobody's waiting to hear you speak.
Well, who did this?
this is the exception. I do believe this is a silence being broken, and that's why it was so interesting. Camille Cosby, who's been laying low.
Break that silence.
Yeah.
So this is my exception to the rule. She's given her first interview in 6 years. She's 76. She spoke to ABC News on Wednesday, the day after Pennsylvania Supreme Court agreed to review two aspects of Bill's sexual assault case. Camille says she's very pleased with the appeals court's decision. She suggested some things about the Me Too movement that I will play for you in a moment. So basically, and Cosby serving time 3 to 10 years after being found guilty drugging, sexually assaulting a woman in 2004. Here's a clip of Camille responding to the comparison between Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement.
Your voice to speak out on behalf of Black Lives Matter. Are you concerned at all about the blowback from the Me Too movement and those who have been critical of you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't care what they feel. The Me Too movement and movements like them have intentional ignorance pertaining to the history of particular white women who have, from the very beginning, accused black males of sexual assault without any proof whatsoever. No proof anywhere on the face of the earth.
Wow.
That's from Tammy Wynette, stand by your man.
I know.
And it seems like, and I don't know anything about her. But she says she talks to Bill every single day on the phone. That would be a line that I could imagine Cosby feeding her and saying, you know what, you should go on and say that the Me Too movement is racist and here's why.
Hey. Did the drop?
It's a weird relationship to be that dedicated to a guy who is that dedicated to others. I think it's pretty old school. Sure. It's interesting when if you're with a woman who's kind of a contemporary of yours, then you could see it. Obviously, Weinstein's wife did not go down this road at all, right? Because what happens is when you're an old fat fuck and you marry a hot 27-year-old, when you get indicted, she's 34. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's not old school. She's new school.
She's
not pot committed. She hasn't been there since the beginning. So, like, be careful with the trophy wives. Because a stern warning shall be issued from this podcaster, which is everyone wants to date the hot 22-year-old. But later on, when you're accused and Me Too'd, she's going to throw your fat ass under the bus. Whereas Camille Cosby, a woman who's a little more seasoned, she stands by you.
76.
76.
And she, let's see, I could be getting this wrong, but didn't they meet when she was like a pageant queen, like a young pageant queen?
That's not
queen?
The Bill Cosby I know.
she breaks her silence illegitimately and stands by her man.
It's funny when he sponsored the Willie T. Ribbs indie effort, the car had no sponsorship on it. So it just had Bill Cosby's name on it and Camille. It says you can see when you watch that footage, you can see Camille Cosby's just on the side of the car. There was no Coca-Cola or Kodak or any of that, Tide or any of that stuff.
And we appreciate that. However.
Yeah.
So I have a run of stories here about things that are being renamed, given some sort of a facelift, and I'll run through all of them for you. Adam, I don't know if Natalie Maines herself contacted you about this to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
But the Dixie Chicks are changing their name. They are now just the Chicks.
But isn't Chick? I find Chicks problematic.
I was going to say.
Well, it's a little problematic.
They should have pivoted harder.
I think they really like ducks. Yeah.
Where should we go with they? Yeah.
They, yeah.
Sorry.
They. The band revealed the change with the branding for its new song, March, March. On June 17th, this writer, Jeremy Heliger, he penned an op-ed for Variety that questioned the trio's band name. Heliger noted the recent controversy surrounding Lady Antebellum, they're now Lady A, had netted basically a good amount of press for them. And he said, the Dixie Chicks don't need to change their name to get that kind of publicity, but their silence has been deafening. This is a discussion we need to have, and they should be part of it.
Hey, can I say this?
Yeah.
First off, Lady Antebellum needs to be they A, as previously stated. And another thing, could more people's silence be deafening? Because
that's another good one.
My
I'd
issue
like to be deafened
is
by more silences.
I have way too many douchebags talking. That's what I'm hearing right now. But I would love more deafening silence so I could fucking relax and enjoy my fucking life. So anyone listening, please be silent.
Deafen me with silence.
Yes. Please deafen me with your silence. Yeah, I get that cliche when it applies, but does everybody need to take a stand? I think we all know they're progressive, pretty woke, like good chicks who, you know, they're down with all the good causes, right?
What else do we need to know about them? They were completely blackballed in this country by speaking canceled. Out against the president.
Right.
They were canceled.
They were originally, the original cancel culture.
Good. They're on the right side of history. We don't need to be deafened by their silence.
And did you guys, do you know the origin of the Mason-Dixon line and whether that's a racial thing or not? Because I have a little info on it because I didn't know. Because, you know, I'm from the Midwest.
I was about to say, is Dixie in and of itself offensive?
Well, I did just the tiniest dusting of research because, you know, we in the Midwest are like, well, that's north of the Mason-Dixon line or whatever. So it's kind of both depending on where you look. So apparently it was between 1763 and 1767, Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon were basically involved in this resolution of a border dispute involving Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Delaware in colonial America. Okay, dry as a bone, boring, doesn't get any more boring than that. Mason-Dixon line. It later became informally known as the border between the free states and the slave states. Hmm. So the answer is kind of both, in case you were wondering.
Okay.
Well,
Splash Mountain.
My feeling is things existed before us, and that's fine. And that's history. And, you know, it's just history to me. It feels like history. I don't know the erasing of it. By the way, it doesn't get it to go away, you know, like just because you tear it down or rename it or whatever. By the way, the renaming, I mean, they can't, when they try to name like Exposition Boulevard, Martin Luther King Boulevard or something, it never takes. It usually ends up or freeway off ramp or something like that, or an airport or even a stadium. Man, it could take like 40 years to get people to get off of, you know, I don't know how we're going to get off of, Where are we trying to rename? Let's see, Columbus, Ohio. It's going to be hard.
Flavortown.
Yeah, it's good, but it's going to take a while for that shit to
not
catch
for me.
On. Okay.
Flavortown, Ohio.
What else?
No, you're right. So along the same vein, and things that, you know, many of us have been wondering about, I think, for a year or two. Walt Disney did announce on Thursday they are, in fact, changing the classic Splash Mountain ride for a completely reimagined, they're saying, amid the scrutiny of the ride's roots in the film Song of the South, cannot find anymore.
A listener sent it to me on DVD, and I watched it like a month ago.
Okay, Brian can find it.
It's way more boring than you would think.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie. I mean, I didn't find it very offensive. I found it boring and
a lot of tropes that aren't
very trope. And of course, like it's set in this idyllic version. Well, they're telling this idyllic version of like the slave era, which maybe is problematic. But overall, it's just not a very good movie. It's boring.
It's not. You know,
well,
I think we've all.
You know, my problem with all this stuff is we're kind of learning from the statues is. There is no good place to stop once you start going down that road. You know, it's just there's not a good stopping point. You go, we're going to take this statue down, and then you go, well, what about this guy? Well, he was on the right side. Yeah, but he then blah, blah, blah. And you go, okay, let's get that too.
No, that's true.
It just kind of just keeps going into team names and towns and streets.
Oh, we'll get there.
and pancake mix boxes and syrup. And it's just like there is no good place to stop. And as you know, it doesn't stop. It just goes. I miss, don't you guys miss a more innocent time when we would just sit around and try to figure out who was gay? Remember that was a... But that was a big part
BLB
of
BLB before Lance Bass.
Yeah, like when I was 25, I was like, I heard that dude's gay. That dude's not, Ricky Martin's not gay. That dude slays the ladies.
That guy's tons of chicks.
He's living the Vita Loca, dude. I don't know, man. I heard they had never seen him married. That's because he's getting laid too much, dude. I miss trying to figure out who was gay, right?
Simpler time.
Yeah.
Simpler time. Indeed.
Well, they are giving it the reimagined look. It will now be dedicated to the 2009 film, The Princess and the Frog. That's the first Disney animated movie to feature a black princess. According to Disney, the redesign has been in the works for over a year, though no concrete timeline for its construction and relaunch has been announced, but it will be changing. This is one. How many times in your life have you heard the national anthem? A million? Sure. Didn't know this. The Tulsa Athletic of the semi-pro national premier soccer league announced it will no longer play the national anthem at its games. Instead, it will play Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. Why is that?
Oh, is it Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land, or that song is a response to Irving Berlin's God Bless America, right?
Don't know.
Oh, sure.
We'll look into it. Love that. Way worse.
Well, so back in the USSR is a response to the Beach Boys, like surfing in the USA or something. Like, I mean it. Like that. That's their response.
Really? I love Back in the USSR. It was like their Beach Boys song.
Well, you know what we need to do? Neil Young's Southern Man is the response. Neil Young's Southern Man is a response to Lynyrd Skynyrd's, well, come on, Dawson, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama, I think.
Sweet Home Alabama was a response to two Neil Young songs.
Oh, Neil, other way around.
Neil Young's Alabama and Southern Man.
Hey, wait a minute. Is the black man appropriating our culture of a diss track? You know what I mean? Isn't that us? I'm sorry, but young rappers, that was us. This is going back to the 70s and the 60s.
You know what you may not know about that is Neil Young and Ronnie Van Zant had tremendous respect for each other. Ronnie, they both loved the other's songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ronnie loved the song Southern Man.
Right.
But for a very long time after Sweet Home Alabama came out, Neil could not tour the American South because he would just get hundreds and thousands of death threats.
Mm. That's interesting. So we got a Beach Boys diss track. We got a Beatles diss track, I guess. And
that's more of a tribute.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, they are getting rid of the Star Spangled Banner, and it's because of the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner. Didn't know we had three verses. And here's what it says. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. Tulsa Athletic came to the decision that the song does not align with the club's core values. While this verse is rarely sung, Tulsa Athletic does not believe the Star Spangled Banner represents or unites their diverse players, fans, and community.
Oh,
did you know that existed?
Nobody knew. Another thing I'd like to do away with is fucking core values. Does everybody, you know, you make travel mugs. Does your company need to have a core value? You know what I mean? Like, does every company have to announce its core value? I got a letter. I keep getting emails from Hydro, the guys who make my rowing machine, and they announce their core values to me all the time, although they make athletic equipment. But okay, they have the core value. So I got the Black Lives Matter core value email from them. And then later I got the, Gay Pride core value along with them. And today I got a that a boy. And I'm starting to think like it's such an interesting subject that everyone needs their that a boys now. Like you need.
It says now this is just getting silly.
It's getting silly. Now, I'll try to, Gina, you can try to read it. I can't really read it from here.
Unfortunately, it's too fuzzy.
I'll read it. Let's see. 750,000 meters. Now, this is just getting silly. This is sent to me. You're unstoppable.
Whoa.
750,000 meters. Can you read the rest, Max Spana?
750,000 meters is almost unimaginable. But for people like you, it's anything but.
That's right. People like me, everybody.
Winners.
Who exercise for 25 minutes a day.
It's anything but, which is why you're able to achieve great things. And yes, this is truly a great accomplishment.
Oh.
You are among the few.
You got a new achievement day.
That's right. There you go.
It says hats off to you, but they cross off hats and wrote socks off to you because you're getting a pair of socks.
This must really soften the blow of the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Lynch breathed a sigh of relief when I explained to him we didn't make the New York Times bestseller list, but do not fear. I've covered almost a million nautical miles on a stationary rowing machine. Yeah. It's a new world order. Like, everyone needs the kudos for everything now.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Has core values replaced mission statement? Because you're not hearing a lot of mission statements anymore.
Yeah. You know what I miss?
Best practices, which I had really never heard before this year.
I miss a simpler time when everyone was just trying to accumulate Marlboro miles.
Camel bucks.
You smoke enough, you can get a kayak. That's basically what I learned, yeah.
Who needs a kayak less than a heavy smoker?
I don't know. It's a weird math. Dawson, you ever get any Marlboro miles?
You know, they were kind of big in college, and we always wanted to get the pool table or like the slick Marlboro windbreaker. You know?
Right, yeah. Right.
But you go through a point where you realize you're just collecting trash, and you don't feel good about yourself for smoking that many cigarettes.
Yeah.
And they all just disappear.
Get the gear.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You should get the Stetson hat.
But they also had some cool stuff.
I also like the sort of conceit of like, well, how else would you get a Stetson hat? I mean, what are you going to do? Walk into Nudie's or some place that does outfitting and buy one? I don't think
good
so.
Luck. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, you have to smoke 1,400 cartons of Marlboro Reds. I mean, how else would you get a windbreaker? How else would you get a dartboard? I mean, let's be honest. You want to go down to Costco and wait in line? Like, I kind of get the stuff that says Marlboro on it, but the stuff that is just like a dartboard or a cowboy hat, I feel like you could find one of those.
It's attainable.
Right. That's right. Frying pan.
That's awesome. Yeah. A log stacker.
I was going to say a log stacker. Yeah.
I like
that. That's great. A bucket.
A bucket or a trough.
Is that a barbecue set?
To
the pan?
It looks like a spatula and tongs. Like, again, Brian, good luck finding that.
Where would one find it? Where can I be expected to find that?
Well, you could
flashlight.
You could scour the globe and come up snake eyes, or you could start collecting Marlboro bucks and get your set in 7 months.
I could name at least 20 of my friends who all collected Marlboro miles and not one who turned anything in to get anything.
Really? Because they all just died of emphysema before they could hammer it. Oh, you get a lantern, a sweater.
I mean, is that a harmonica? The second from the bottom?
Yep, a blues harp.
Blues harp. Imagine what that thing would smell like when that guy was done.
What is that device? It looks like a breathalyzer, two down and two in from the left.
It's a rail rider's pouch.
Trail rider's pouch. Yeah. Everything.
Again, where could one be expected?
Had to have the theme. I used to love, you know, everyone remembers the Marlboro Man, but the Camel Man, that dude was all over the place too. Not Joe Camel, but the Camel Man. He had like a natural. He had like curly blonde hair. He was always like, he was in the middle of the desert, his Jeep broke down, and he'd just be standing there like smoking next to his broken down Jeep. Or he'd have his Jeep on a raft and be pushing it down, you know, down the, I don't know, down the Nile or something. And he was all over the place. Like, he was an adventure guy, and he was on billboards everywhere in the 80s, and he was the camel man, and he'd just be smoking. Like, I got my Jeep tire, it's flat, I'm going to walk it into town, and I'm going to smoke. And it was always kind of weird to me. Like, it didn't signal achievement. Your fucking Jeep broke down, and you have to walk in. You don't have a spare, and you have to, like, walk it into town, but he's going to smoke while he's doing it. He looked like Gordon Lightfoot, and he had, like, I don't know what's off-putting about the blonde natural. There's something weird about the fro, like, kind of the blonde fro. Weird to me, but that was the camel man.
Feels like a good time to recommend Thank You for Smoking, which depicts the real-life Marble Man as played by Sam Elliott after he's broken down, dying of lung cancer, and they're offering a payoff to not talk shit about the company.
Streaming on Cinemax.
Yeah.
Well, finally, in the name change department, we'll just round it out with this one. Renewed interest in a petition drive that seeks to have Minnesota's statue of Christopher Columbus replaced by another legend of Minnesota.
Oh, Jesse Ventura. Come on.
Come on.
The initial petition launched 2 years ago urges that, quote, rather than glorify a man who wanted to extinguish Black and Native peoples, we should honor members of our community whose leadership we find inspirational. Prince represents Minnesota values and Columbus does not. So far, more than 10,000 people have signed.
Wait, all right. Prince got out at the right time because that motherfucker would Me Too'd 5,000 times if he was alive.
Yeah, that's right. Let's put up a guy who wrote songs about coming and OD'd. That sounds awesome.
Darling Nikki is my favorite Prince song.
I hate all Prince songs. All right, but I recognize him as talented. Let's always make sure that we have the respect for the man's ability. It's just, again, where I'm at with all this stuff is you go, well, hey, old man Carolla, why are you against all this shit? And the reason I'm against all this shit is because I don't like power being taken away from people. And which is to say, if there's a statue or a plaque or the name of something, and you think that somehow changing the name or taking down the statue is going to remedy whatever's going on in your life, that's dangerous, slippery slopes for me. I don't like that. I like everyone to have to feel, now not be empowered by this, that, or the other, but actually have that feeling of we're in a good country, things are fairly level, and I'm going to go out there and kick ass. Like, I want that. And obsessing over the statue coming down or changing the name of X, Y, and Z, I look at a complete waste of time, and also satiates. And it's a little bit based on, or it's a little bit, as I tell you guys, my daughter's getting pumped about going out for the volleyball team, and I don't want to bore you with the story again, but when my daughter thought she wasn't making the team because the deck was stacked against her or her coach didn't like her, whatever that is, it was going to ruin her. It would have ruined her on that sport. She wouldn't have gotten out and competed. She feels insanely empowered by going out. I know I said I don't like that word, but by practicing and working out and being with the team. And if she had succumbed to that, coach hates me, it's not even worth trying.
Why bother?
Right. Now, the New York Times, what they're doing to me, that's a totally different situation. That's documented.
It's a frontal attack.
But the deal where we keep beating this drum of the reason you can't do this is because of that is a dangerous message to send to anybody in any community. And I hope we can back off it a little bit, because the reality is there's no such thing as all things being equal. There's no such thing. I mean, you take a look at Dr. Drew. His dad's a doctor. He came up different, better than most, had better opportunities than most. Became a doctor himself, probably in large part because his dad was a doctor. Still had to work hard to do it. But at 18, you know, he probably had an advantage over 99% of Americans. But over me, well, for sure over me, but I had an advantage of over 99% of Guatemalans living in Guatemala, or 99% of Americans who came 150 years before me, and so on and so forth. Like, it'll just keep going and going and going. My thing is, it's 2020. The reason everyone wants to come to this country is because we've done a pretty good job. It'll never be perfect. With that in mind, go out and kick ass.
Speaking of Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla, one of the things I remember listening to Loveline as a teenager, you guys would say all the time, reality on reality's terms. You know what I mean? Like, yes, this road may be harder, or yes, this task may be more difficult, or whatever it is. Yes, that's the reality. Now you must deal with it on reality's terms.
Yep. Reality on reality's terms. And then you can go, but it's not right, or
it's not fair.
It's not fair, or it should change. I agree with all that. But here's my point. Whose life is it? It's your life. I mean, you don't want to sit on the sidelines and wait for things to change until you get back in the game. Just go out and compete. And I worry that a lot of the tearing down of this, or changing the name of that, or the Dixie Chicks are doing whatever, it's all window dressing. It's fine. It doesn't help. And if it feels like it's helping, it's not. Sorry.
It's kind of a now what situation. Like, woohoo, we're celebrating, the statue's down. Right. Now what? Now what do we do?
Well, you just kind of move on to the next statue or the next thing. Right. And then you blink your eyes, and it's been 10 years of moving on to things and not just finding a mirror, focusing on what you can do. And I think there's a lot of examples of people in this country who come from other countries or other cultures, men, women, gay, straight, and everything in between, and have had a lot of success. So go ahead and look at their statue. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Jenna. I've not heard a story like this once since all of this started. So very interested in your thoughts. CBS News reports that an Oregon county has decided to make people of color exempt from its mandatory mask policy, citing the potential for racial profiling. The decision comes as multiple counties in Oregon have ramped up face covering requirements to slow the spread of coronavirus. Lincoln County's general directive requires everyone to wear a face covering in any indoor public setting or any outdoor setting where you can't social distance properly. But the county wrote on its website that, quote, people of color who have heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment due to wearing face coverings in public are exempt from the rule.
Like, they'll be thought of as a criminal?
Unclear. Other exemptions include children under 12.
Well, isn't Lincoln County is problematic to this podcaster? That's number one. Number two, what's next? Hey, white people have to carry black people to and from their car. Like, okay, it's all good. Everyone's virtue signaled to outer space. But is this going to help? Like, this notion of, hey, you don't have to do this. How's it going to work in a few years?
It can be seen as incredibly insidious, depending on what your thoughts are about this virus, because those people could eventually be the ones that get very, very sick.
Yeah, or bring that virus back home to, you know, God knows who.
Yeah.
There's also a thing of we're getting away from, which is the kind of, you know, people say, I'm colorblind. And now that's kind of a hate crime, because you have to recognize everyone's color and everyone's past and everyone's heritage. And that's another dangerous notion. This everyone needs to be recognized. The goal is for everyone to be treated the same and well. And the colorblind or the Martin Luther King, you know, with his, he has a dream. That's the goal. That's the goal. This new world order where you have to recognize my whatever that is. that sounds good, except for we're going to break society off into that's gay and that's black and that's Hispanic and that's Asian and that's everything. And we're going to have a fucking society that has a bunch of groups, a bunch of tribes living inside of it, which is the opposite of what this country is. Other countries, Middle East, South Africa, Africa, the continent of Africa, they have a lot of tribes. It doesn't work that well. It's not good. The tribes don't end up getting along that well. They kill each other oftentimes. Yes, Brian?
I would also assume it's really presumptuous to assume that I would know, like, the one, let's just say black, one black person's history is the same as the others. I assume that everyone's an individual, has a very unique, new, I'm sure, of course, they share things in common, but you know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to know someone's history, wouldn't it make more sense, like, it's insulting to not treat them as an individual who had individual, you know, upbringing or experiences.
And it's also about values. If you think about a white person who's bald and about your age, and then the second you find out that they're a big UCLA fan and that they hate the band In Excess. And
who is this animal?
They don't much care for the top shelf whiskeys and alcohols, and they hate they hate sushi. It's like, okay, you're out.
You created this devil in a lab.
Right. Now, but what I'm saying is the second you run into a black man or a black woman who says, I like USC and I like going out for sushi night with my wife and we love Maker's Mark or something, you go, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that way politically. It's the people who share your values. It's about values. You share their values. The heritage stuff is way overrated. Yes.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. So I assume that Alonzo Bowden and Dag had similar aspects to their upbringing and their lives. It'd be incredibly presumptuous to assume they had the same history.
Yes, like they had. And it's this thing. Look, I grew up, we had one rich friend. His name was Tom. He was our black friend. And he had a very different upbringing than I had and my other buddies did. And we never, I mean, yes, to presume, it's that the presumption is a bit racist right there. So anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to create a category for everybody. We're going to create a category, and then you can get in that category, and then we're going to live in a nation with a whole bunch of categories that kind of bump up against each other. And already you can see groups. I saw a woman online today and she was like, why does the gay flag have the black fist on it? That's our shit. The LGBT and the transgender community, stay away from our stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's us. You're appropriating, like, all right. Of course, there's going to be trouble because the red haired ladies want to make tacos on a truck. You know, of course, this is never going to work out. All other nations that have groups, all they do is go at it. That's it. We already fought a civil war, right? So I just like to, this country was sort of about everyone blending in and enjoying themselves and making hay while the sun shines. I'd like to get back to that.
Do you think we're in the middle of a cold civil war?
Yeah.
It's kind of what culture war is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, some of it is, you know, not just culturally or emotional. Like, there's people spilling out in the streets and, you know, putting their hands on people. Like, it's not what this country is about. And I always think it's very a little racist and also kind of very short-sighted to think. I don't know about you guys, but I look at everybody exactly how they get me to look at them individually. Like, I don't have pre-existing notions. I have some pre-existing notions. As I've told you, the guy who does my dental surgery is a black man who likes to pump reggae music in to the surgical room. And when he first walked in, So I was picturing an Indian guy, maybe an Asian guy, maybe a white guy. I had black guy lower on my list just because I had not experienced that. But the second he came in and was a good guy, an experienced surgeon, and he's done a few procedures and he was very competent, then he is that guy. That's how I don't look at him as a black man. I look at him as a surgeon who I don't trust around my daughter.
Fair. It's again, how he got you to look at it.
That's right. Look, you got to squeeze a joke in every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to get back to that sort of meritocracy stuff myself. All right, one more, Gina Grad.
Sometimes jokes don't work.
All right, well, I've been sitting on this one for a couple of days, and this is, again, a real public service announcement to the gentlemen out there. A COVID-19 outbreak has been confirmed at a strip club in Wisconsin.
No.
It is called Cruisin' Chubbies, the Cruisin' Chubbies Gentlemen's Club. The health department reports two or more COVID cases have been cited there. So an outbreak, as defined by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, as two or more laboratory confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the same facility or associated with a single event. Everybody just be careful when you go to Cruisin' Chubbies in Wisconsin.
Is Cruisin' Cherry Pie. Hey, buddy. Help shove some cheese curds. Grab a paper plate and sort of get a semicircle around here. Big Ed, who used to be known as Big Nick, who's also Big Josh. I don't know why he changed his name. I think he had, I don't know, his IRS situation. You know, I digress. By the way, we have a businessman lunch going on noon to 3 every day. Cruisin' Chubbies. Now, first off, we don't spell it cruise like cruising. We spell it more like, you know what? Let me get back to Big Nick, Big Dave, or Big Ed. He changed his name a lot. Anyway, came down here. He got himself a hellacious lap dance. And I mean the kind of lap dance that you only find at Cruisin' Chubbies. Contracted, he got crabs. Let's not get sidetracked here. He got crabs, he got herpes, he got, I don't know what a polyp is, but anyway, he also contracted Wuhan flu. I watch a lot of Fox. What do they call it? Kung flu. Kung flu. What do you say? What's that, Stevie? Oh yeah, he got the COVID-19 over there, and as you know, he's a big man, and I don't know. I'm not a surgeon, but evidently the ventilator. You know when you say you swallow something and went down the wrong pipe. Well, that's what happened to Duke. Big Duke. Well, his name is Nick. We know him as Big Dave, but anyway, I don't know what it says on his license. I mean, goddamn, when I used to work as a bouncer here, I used to check his license, so I've been here that long. Anyway, again, pull up some cheese curds and something that's pickled. Come on there, grab a knee. Oh, let me take a little business here. Jade, stage 7. Stage 7. Now, remember, we got sneeze guards up there around there, so we ain't commingling with the juices up there. But he's gone. And we'll need to social distance. Unless you're getting a hand job, in which case, obviously, we're not going to be able to pull that one off, pardon the pun. All right, sorry.
Greatest contribution to the show.
I really love that goddamn thing. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
Oh, you got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
How do they spell cruise?
C-R-U-I-S-I-N apostrophe. Cruisin' Chubbies.
All right. Last but not least, True Nigen. I've been taking this stuff for a while now. It's been about 5 months, and I feel great. Drew's been on it for, a couple of years now. It's for cellular health. True Nigen for strong cellular health. Look, you need it these days. You get older, our bodies experience a near 50% decline in NAD, which negatively affects our health and the cells in our body. Lifestyles are bad, too, like stressors, like a lifestyle stressor, like intense exercise, lack of sleep, stress on the immune system, overeating, all deplete NAD because cells expend more energy to function. This is the real deal. It's backed by Nobel Prize winning scientists. It's clinical research all over the globe and has regulatory approval. Support cellular energy and defense. Visit TruNiagen, TRUNIAGEN.com. Use the promo code Adam. Get $20 off a 3-month plus supply and get it now through June 30th. All right, let's see. You can go to adamcarolla.com. I'm going to be in Tempe, Arizona, coming up July 3rd and 4th. We're doing live podcasts there and stand up there. So come on out and say hi, please. Joe Collins, you can check him out at, what did I say, joecollins.com? I moved the stupid paper. And support him. And
it's joecollinsforcongress.com.
There you go. And get my book, and let's get Mike out of his funk. All right, so until next time, Sam Crawford, for Joe Collins, and Gina Grad, and Ball Bryan, say it. Mahalo.
Stick around. Adam Carolla returns with Dave Damashek for Good Sports right after this.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday happy hour edition of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. I just decided to call it the happy hour, Ace.
I like
it. It's always happy when I get the kibitz with you. Isn't that grand?
I feel that way, too.
I'll feel even better about it when we can gather around the TV and watch some pro football action with all the gang. It's not that far away, Ace, on the calendar at least. We'll see if reality allows it and all that's going down. But let's cross our fingers. We've paid a steep price as a society. I think our reward is pro football action come autumn 2020. Let's hope we get that. In the meantime, though, Ace, we were talking yesterday. So much I want to get to here with you. But to pick up where we left off yesterday, you played an old ad from the St. Louis Cardinals ace, one of the great pitchers of all time, Bob Gibson, doing a Primatene Mist commercial. This was kind of at the forefront. Well, I guess it starts with Frank Gifford burning nails in the locker room. Like, after a tough game, I like to relax with a Winston or whatever he was doing. Then you have Gibson. Then things really descend. And then Mean Joe Green kind of is the pinnacle, having a Coca-Cola with the kid. Oh, you know what's the best ad campaign? Maybe not just in sports, but in history. The Miller Lite ads. Those were so great, right?
I'll
go back and watch them all.
I'll tell you, I don't do a lot of binge watching, but listening to Real Men of Genius. The Miller Bud Light Real Men of Genius campaign, like Mr. Taco Salad Inventor and stuff. You'll listen to 25 of those in a row and you'll laugh every time. That was a really funny campaign. And then,
it definitely, you know what, year 2000, if somebody had pitched that, if Tony Barbieri had pitched that at the Man Show, I bet you it would have been a go, and it would have been a nice little bump in or bump out on Man Shows.
The other greatest thing for everyone to do, if you're just on YouTube and you just kind of want to take a deep dive, get into Terry Tate, Office Linebacker.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah,
you forget how good, and not only how good, but like it just kept going. Like he got injured one year and another linebacker came in and he had to like fight to get his job back. It's a great, the whole thing is fantastic. You have to watch it.
There aren't as many. What's her name from Progressive? I can't think of her name.
Flo.
It's crazy. low. I can't believe after a decade of those, I can't summon her name. But there are her notwithstanding, there aren't many great characters anymore. Everybody used to like the bubbles that scrub your tub used to be animated, oh, yeah, and personified. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a character, you know, mm-hmm, not so many anymore. Now all we get is the booger, you know, that one for like the, you know, the booger shows up a lot. He's the only animated character.
The phlegm guy. Yeah. Phlegm I hate guy. That.
He's about. Yeah, I don't care for that at all.
No. Well, thank God we got rid of the gargoyle that lives under your toenails. That fucking guy made me want to yak and show him lifting the toenail up and hopping it. I want to fucking throw up every time I saw that commercial. I'll tell you, but let me ask this. Are you guys, I'm looking at Kaylin and Gary as well. Are you guys as bothered in commercials when they do things that don't make sense?
It makes me crazy.
So, like, Flo, they have this funny vignette where it's like Flo is protecting your house because you got, like, homeowner's insurance now. And they show her, and she's, like, underneath a bird that's going to crap on the car. And she's like, I'm watching you. And she's, like, watching everything. And at some point, a kid goes by with a newspaper, has a newspaper out, and he throws the newspaper, and she jumps up and rejects it like Minute Bowl, you know, like, get that nasty shit out of here. And it's like, yes. Yeah, but that's their news. Isn't that their newspaper?
You just rejected your own team. Yeah, basically, you blocked your teammate's shot.
If I'm writing these vignettes, I do like, oh, she's holding the umbrella over the car with the sunroof open and it's raining outside, or she's watching the bird that's going to shit on the car. But yeah, that's their newspaper, right? And you just swat it out into the street.
You need her swatting away an egg that a trick-or-treater is tossing at the house, something you wouldn't want there. But you want your newspaper to be as close to the door as possible.
You have a subscription to a newspaper, and the guy delivers it by throwing it onto your lawn.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, Gary's hit it right. Yeah, somebody's there to TP your tree. What? No way. Reject it.
Or you have to clarify it. Like, you have to go like, not on the lawn, not while the sprinklers are running or something. But that guy's just a noose. And how fucking annoying is it to that 11-year-old who's like, I'm delivering I got to collect from this family in 3 weeks. They're not going to give me any money because you keep fucking swatting away the newspaper, you cunt. I'm sorry. I'm angry. Well, that kid's got it. That's his livelihood. That kid's going to end up strung out on fentanyl somewhere in a fucking park in 3 years because he'll be like, I couldn't collect.
Corolla, social justice warrior. Listen, I admire it. Who says we can't do important work while we have a few laughs along?
All right, let's watch your commercial. But I want to find Flo.
I want to say to you that I agree with you. These things drive me crazy in TV shows and in commercials. Like Gilligan, I can't watch Gilligan's Island because I really get this undercurrent, and it's not a minor emotion of like hatred for Gilligan, the dissatisfaction, like Splash is another one. At the end of Splash, Tom Hanks, like, okay, you want to be with Daryl Hannah for the rest of your life. Okay, you just got to leave your whole family and way of life and dive into the sea and live there for the rest of your days. Like, that would suck. I wouldn't want to live at the bottom of the ocean for the rest of my life, no matter who Daryl, Hannah, or otherwise is waiting down there. Gilligan, like, every episode ends with him screwing up their one chance, theoretically, of getting off the island. They're like, oh, Gilligan, you little stinker. Like, it drives me crazy. It's like, that's not good and it's not cute. You would murder him if he did that once. And he stopped. If you were with Tom Hanks and it was on Castaway, but there were another person there and Tom Hanks ruined your chance of getting off the island, you would immediately murder him so it didn't happen again. You wouldn't be like, ah, you stinker. You know, like that phoniness makes me crazy.
Check. And another. Sorry. I've said it 1,000 times. I would rather live with former SNL cast member Daryl Hammond on land and fuck him every night then live at the bottom of the ocean with Daryl Hammond. I know you've heard me say it, probably not into the microphone, but of course socially many times, just to I'm trying to underscore your point.
I try not to bring personal life stuff into the podcast, but you've done it here, and I think we're better for it. Tearing away the fourth wall, I think mm-hmm. they call it. It's also like the Noid at Domino's. Like, he works there. Remember him? He was a little animated.
You gotta avoid the Noid.
You got to avoid the noise. Like, but I'm calling you for pizza. Like, what? And that guy works there. He's a ne'er-do-well. He's screwing up my pizza. Why are you highlighting your worst employee? What? That's not good for business.
How about
works there?
How about Spuds McKenzie? And all the ladies love Spuds. Like, that's a dog. Spud. Oh, Spud. And I was like, you're sexually attracted to Spud? You're in a bikini. You're horny for that a dog? It's a terrier. What kind of message are we sending to the kids or the animal loving community? Like, what is going on? It's a dog.
It's outrageous behavior.
It's outrageous.
How can I trust that 30 minutes or less? How do I know your cheese isn't rotten by a week, Domino's? You employ your hiring practices are so shoddy. I'm to trust that your refrigerator is kept at the right temperature? Fah!
Now
I'm
listen,
going to Pizza Hut.
You're right in that Domino's shouldn't have never employed the Noid. That was a mistake. But let's not blame Cascade, who kept your dishes clean, because they had to do battle with the spot maker. And the spot maker lives inside of your dishwasher. And that's a different situation. That was their foe. Cascade detergent did not want, they wished the spot maker was never born. But the spot maker lives inside your dishwasher and he embarrasses you with spots. And so those two Titans did battle every time you hit the go button on your dishwasher. But the Noid, that was avoidable.
I think we need a 10-part series of us breaking down the history of commercials. This segment just won't do it. So, all right, we're talking about commercials, and to make it sportsy for you, to bring it back to Bob Gibson, the nadir of sports personality endorsements, Jimmy Johnson for Extends, the male enhancement drug. And now, before you play it there, Gary, just a reminder. Jimmy Johnson, by the time he makes these ads, has already won Super Bowls. He is a legend in college football for coaching the U to national titles. He jumps to America's team. He then is on Fox doing the pregame. In other words, he's got to have, I mean, conservatively, he's got to have $25 million. To his name. You got to have that. I mean, that's the bare minimum, probably way more than that. And yet the Extends people come to him and say, hey, we want you to be our pitch man for Extends. And then this commercial happens.
I'm Jimmy Johnson, and I recently became the spokesperson for Extends, the number one male enhancement tablet. Even though I'm the winner of 4 collegiate and professional football championships and have a sportscasting career, I've been surprised at the one big question guys ask me these days. Does Extends really work? Can you believe it? So here's my answer.
No.
It works for me, and since Extends has sold over 1 billion tablets to men, I'm thinking it works for them too. Most men want to perform the best they can in just about everything. Isn't that why we buy the biggest and best of everything? So if you want that maximum performance edge every day, I say go along with Extends. I do.
If you call...
Oh, my God.
Well, first off, Penn State was playing the Houston Texans, right? In that scenario?
Yeah. Those details usually will drive me crazy, but I'm so fascinated that this is what people come up and ask. Guys, where? In the airport. Like, oh, whoa, look at that. It's Coach Jimmy Johnson. Like, I got to ask him about the wiener pill.
You talk about money. I guarantee that deal was, Coach, we'll give you 80 cents for every fucking unit we sell. Like, that's not a, here's $275,000 for a commercial.
I see.
We sold, 400,000 units last year. We predict we're going to sell 2.7 million. You're going to get 80 cents every time we sell a bottle of Extends once we start running this campaign. That was one of those deals. I guarantee it.
That makes sense. See, that's the insider scoop that I'm not aware of. But yeah, it's funny. Like, first of all, that's the question that everybody has for him these days. can you believe it? No, absolutely not. That people didn't come up to you and ask, what really happened with Michael Irvin after hours? Like, what was it like down at the U in the heyday? No, hey, coach, what about the wiener pill? Is your wiener really bigger? And that's a question you would have with Jimmy Johnson. And that I love all the talk about the writers of the ads, all the double entendre. Don't we like things that are bigger? Go long. Oh, it makes me uncomfortable to hear it from you, Jimmy. I don't like that stuff.
I concur. And, you know, the who used to do the money store that always made me laugh?
The old shortstop for the
Rizzuto?
Phil Rizzuto. Phil Rizzuto, yeah. Right. Nobody wanted to talk to him about the money store, and no one wanted to talk to Jimmy Johnson about his wiener.
Yeah, dumb old ball player. Tell me about, give me some sound financial advice.
Yes. All right.
All right. Well, listen, good times, Ace, as always. That's a wrap on your week of hot sports talk. Fear not, though. We'll be back with more of it in spades for you next week. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek reminding you, don't just survive, sir, thrive. Good sports out. Good sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get all the links and get it now at adamcarolla.com.